bless you tonight. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. We're going to get right into it, let you go a little early tonight. I know that it's raining out there. I think I can hear it on the roof, and it's getting colder. It's supposed to turn into freezing rain, so we want to make sure that you get home safely tonight. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 is the scripture that we've been using as our main scripture. But tonight I want to dig a little bit more in verse 16. Verse 17 says, if anyone is what? In Christ, he or she is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The word new there again in the Greek is what? Never seen before. Something completely new. Okay? And when it says creation, let's not belittle that word creation. Because a lot of times when we think about creation, we think about Genesis. We think about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We look at the stars, the moon, and the sun, and all the things that God created in the beginning. But when he's talking about creation there, I believe it has that same type of a, let's not make it a small creation in the new creation, huge creation when he created everything we see, small what he did, because what he has done in this new creation, and we're created in Christ. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 2. Get over there real quick and I'll find it. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. This new creation. We are his workmanship. Created where? In Christ. Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay? So when we see that new creation, it says, in what God did in Christ, anyone who's in Christ is new creation, never seen before. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, in verse 16 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at that tonight a little bit and get into something here. We've talked about it a couple times, but I want us to dig into it a little bit more tonight. And verse 14 says, we'll start in verse 14, get down to verse 16. It says, verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all what? If one died for all, then what's it say? Maybe say it in verse 14. If one died for all, then what? Then all died. Okay? Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer for themselves, live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So if one died for all, which was who? It was Jesus, right? He died for all, then all died. Okay? So if you're in Christ, the old has what? Passed away. If one died for all, then all died. We're going to get into this this portion of it this Sunday morning in an in-depth way. But and then he goes on in verse 16, therefore, because one died for all died, therefore, from now on, we regard no one. That word regard means to consider, to know, or to see. To consider, to know, or to see, or to perceive. He said, so because one died for all and all died, from now on, we regard, we see no one, we know no one, perceive no one, according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, never seen before. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now, that word regard there in verse 16, that's the one. That's what I want to kind of zero in tonight. The word regard, again, means to know, to consider, to see, or to perceive. What did Paul say that we're not supposed to do? Because one died for all died. We're no longer supposed to do what? What's that? Regard no one according to the flesh. See no one according to the flesh. Consider no one according to the flesh. Perceive no one according to the flesh. So that means we're not supposed to look at each other anymore based upon what we see with our natural eye. Come on, right? Why? Because they're in Christ and they are what? A new what? Creation created in Christ. So we're not supposed to see them any longer according to the old. We're not supposed to see them any longer, not even just according to the old. We're not supposed to see them any longer according to the flesh. Now, I've said this before, but it's important that we see each other that way. But it's really important that I no longer see myself or perceive myself that way. You know, there's a movie, and it's an older movie, and it's crazy to... You grew up on all these movies, and when you was a kid, your parents would watch a movie, and they said, oh, man, I can remember that movie. I remember that movie, and you'd like, man, my parents, they are old, because that movie's old. And now, there's movies that I grew up on, and my kids are looking like, what are you talking about? That movie's like borderline black and white. No, it's not. That's in living color. Okay? Anybody remember the movie Pretty Woman? Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. Well, in that movie, there's a part that takes place in that movie. Yeah, and if you Google and see how long ago it was, well, all you got to do is look at the limo that he drives up in at the end. You're like, man, that used to look cool. That used to look cool. That looks old. But there's a line in there where he makes a statement to her. He says, "I see you as a beautiful, smart, intelligent woman," and she saw herself differently. And her response back to him was this. Her response back was, it's easy to believe the bad. It's easy to believe the bad. Now, there's a truth in there concerning ourselves. So many times it's easier for us to see, it's easier for us to believe the bad about ourselves. In fact, Paul said it's not wise to compare yourselves with others. But have you ever noticed that when you compare yourself with others, what do? You always compare, and degrade, you always compare your weakness many times with somebody's what? Strength. You know, you see someone that's like, man, look how they're just driven. They just this, they just that. I mean, they're just always going. And the reason you're comparing yourself to them is because you're seeing something in them that you don't see in yourself. Okay? It's always easy for us to see and believe the bad in ourselves. Okay? It's always easy for us to identify with the old way. Now, with other people, a lot of times, other people, we can see the good, we can believe the good, we can perceive them according to the good, but then all of a sudden, when it comes to ourselves, we're always regarding and considering and perceiving ourselves according to the old. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. How do you, I want to get some feedback, and I'll need you to help me out and talk up a little, because this one ear is almost completely clogged, my sinuses tonight. But how do you see yourself? Now, I'm not talking about the guys at the Y that are looking in the mirror, you know, seeing this buff guy that's not really what they're seeing in the mirror, but you see him walk by the mirror and they're like, I'm like, what's he looking at? How do you see yourself? Not naturally, but how? I mean, how do you see, huh? How do you see yourself? Who wants to start it?
Like,
how you regard. Now, I don't know if everybody heard her. She started off by saying that she used to regard herself based upon her deeds. You know, if she was doing good, she felt good. And then if she was falling anywhere, she felt not worthy. So you were, yeah, canceled out all. So it was, your relationship with God was all deed-based. Okay? And she said, she talked about Stockholm School of Kingdom Ministry. It's like that on Sunday evenings here. That they teach identity, who you are, not in yourself and not in the old, but who you are in Christ. Okay? Warren, you going to say something? So you perceive yourself then different, or you perceive yourself based upon the baggage?
Well, I'm different, but my past seems like I can't shake it. I really examine myself.
Right.
I have a friend who had childhood trauma, and so in her healing over her trauma,
it's like when we talked to them about Sunday morning about shame and how God, that Jesus took our shame. Okay, let's think of a child for a moment, okay? And say it's our child, and they do something wrong, okay? And as a parent, you deal with what they did wrong, all right? There's two ways that in a sense, can be approached. One, they've done something wrong. Okay, or you can approach it that they, because they've done something wrong, are wrong. Do you understand what I mean by that? And that's where shame. Okay, shame. Instead of I've done something wrong. Okay, then what it is I, because I've done something wrong, I'm bad. I'm wrong, and that's where that baggage or whatever. It's like, Instead of saying, okay, to give an example, we talked about, did we talk about it last Wednesday night? I think it was last Wednesday night. Jesus said the flesh is weak. The spirit is what? Willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. And you know what we do? We this is what we see. The spirit is good, the flesh is evil. The spirit is good, the flesh is bad. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the flesh was weak. The spirit was willing. Okay? Well, my Bible also tells me that when I'm weak, then I'm what? Strong. And that in this earthen vessel, in this weak earthen vessel, I contain this incredible treasure so that the power may be of God and not of me. Okay? So when we see, what we do so many times is we attach instead of it being something like Julie said, outside us, we make it a part of us. And Paul, when he talks about sin, he doesn't make it a part of him. He makes it like a noun. In Romans, I think there's only one time that the word sin's a verb. All the rest of the time, it's a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. He's talking about sin as if it is a person, art is a thing. And there's always a difference. Even though we sin, sin always remains something that could be taken over and put over here. Does that make sense? So our baggage, our past, all those things, see, the enemy tries to get us to identify and say that's who we are. That's not who we are. I don't know if that makes sense. Okay? I don't even know, was yours even a question, or was, That really wasn't a question, was it? That's exactly what we want to focus in tonight. We want to focus in tonight, because really what you have is you have what God has done in Christ. What? Repeat what He said. I could barely hear him. this here is totally. The enemy always brings up his past, and it reminds him of his past. Okay, so here's what you have. Okay. This is what God has done through the cross, through the blood. All right? Now I'm going to tell you, we're going to get into this some Sunday morning. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than the blood of bulls and goats. Okay? And the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament, they would have a sacrifice, and the blood of that sacrifice would cover their sins for an entire year, what they had committed and what they would commit. Jesus' blood, the Bible says, takes away our sin. Okay? So what we're teaching and preaching that God did something so incredible in Jesus that it has completely changed the game. And we have to awaken to what God has done. The Bible says that He abolished in His flesh, He abolished those things that were against us. And we're going to get into those things. So this sinner thing here is what God has done. And it's a gift that we receive by faith. Then after that, we have the ability to live in this new living way. But what the enemy is always going to do is he's always going to accuse you according to the old. He's never going to bring up who you are in the new. But the Bible says that God has put His Spirit and His laws on the inside of you, not on stone, but on the inside of you. And that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you does what? Bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. So the battle that you got going on is the Holy Spirit saying who you are over here and the enemy trying to get you to identify and see yourself from here. He says that He is the accuser of the brethren. So He's constantly accusing you according to the past. But the Bible says that we overcome Him in Revelations by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What is the word of our testimony? The word of our testimony is found in the new creation, not in the old. So how do you see you is a key. That was a question. What the Word of God says about you. Give me some examples. What's the Word of God say? New creation in Christ Jesus. What's that new creation look like? Brand new. All things are new. We're made righteous. We have no history. Well, we do have a history, but our history is Christ's history. Our life is hidden in Him. Our past, our old history is what you're saying. I know. Okay, but who is the new righteous? The Word of God says completely new creation. What's that? Redeemed. More than a conqueror. Holy. Overcomer. Strong. Holy. The divine nature. How are we holy? Because He is holy. We are holy. How are we righteous? Because He is righteous, we are righteous. That's going to be Mary's answer. That's the truth. Uh-huh. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Right. So you're holy because he is holy. Right. You're righteous because he is righteous. Amen. We were created in what? True holy and righteousness in the image of him who created this new creation. Okay? David, you say something? As he is, so are we in the world. So in a way, we must look like him. The Bible says that we're changed from what? From glory to glory into what? The same image of him. We got to get over to the cheap seats. What's the cheap seats over here say? Huh? These aren't cheap seats. These are the ticket the season ticket holders. Is anybody in that back row want to give some props to the Chiefs? Huh? What's that? Righteous through faith. How do we seek? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God in what? His righteousness. Let me ask you a question. How do you seek his righteousness? What's that? Study his word. Whose righteousness is it? Okay. How can we, if we're seeking it, okay, how can we receive it because we cannot achieve it? David touched on it. Huh? By faith. See, what happens is we try to achieve things that you can only receive. So when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, in his righteousness, the only way to receive, to seek his righteousness is to receive his righteousness. You can't achieve his righteousness. Okay? But that's what we do. Okay? What we do is we tell people that are at the very beginning of the relationship with Jesus, come as you are. Just come as you are. God loves you. Come as you are. God loves you. God loves you. Come as you are. And then somewhere we transition from come as you are, God loves you, it's his mercy, his grace, his goodness, to where all of a sudden we transition over to where now we're achieving instead of receiving. Amen? So how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself holy? Do you see it? Mary does now. Do you see yourself holy? What do you identify with? If we're over here in this area, you can't see yourself that way. But if we're over here, come on. Can we? Yes. And who's on the inside bearing witness with our spirit? The Holy Spirit. The one who said that this new creation was created in true holiness and true righteousness in the image of him who created it. But man, we're in the world. And what happens when we're living in the world? That means we deal with everything else that everybody else deals with, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but living by grace and living under grace doesn't mean that every morning I get up, it's like, you know, Tammy, my alarm goes off, and Tammy looks over there, and it's, you know, like the Mount of Transfiguration, and it's just glorious, and I get up, and I'm just like floating on air. No, it's like everybody else, right? We have our emotions, our feelings, all those things. That's never happened, has it? We deal with all those things, too. First of all, she's never up. She would never know if the glory of God, she's never up when I get up. But we're the same, right? Monday morning, I deal with the same thing that everybody else deals with on Monday morning. But here's what we have to understand. God's grace does not bow to our feelings or our emotions. God's grace, his ability and power in our life, gives us the ability to live beyond that. So not only how do you see yourself, let me ask this question. What is your focal point? Or let me ask you this question. I'm trying to figure out a way to say this. What is your point of view? Does that make sense? Okay. If I'm looking from here, it's completely different viewpoint than if I'm looking from here. Does that make sense? Okay, even naturally, right? Okay. So where is our viewpoint of us supposed to be from? From the new way. Okay. From the new creation. Okay. What does that mean? What does that look like? What we pointed out earlier? What did we point out earlier? I want specifics. Means you can't be what? Can't be walking in gloom and doom. How do we get out of walking in gloom and doom? Because we're in the world. I'm supposed to tell that? Okay, think the example I think I might have used last Wednesday. I'm wanting you guys to think that I used last Wednesday. Does anybody remember the story of the prophet and the prophet's servant in the Old Testament we talked about? Was it last Wednesday? Remember? Where the prophet declared all these things, upset everybody, all that stuff, and all of a sudden the servant came and got him and said, "Now you've done it. Now you've done it." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Come out here and look." And the armies that had gathered around him were completely surrounded him, okay? And in the prophet literally prayed that the Lord would open up the eyes of his servant so that he could see. And when the Lord opened up the eyes of the servant, what did he see? Chariots of fire all around. Because the prophet said there's more with us than there are against us. There's two focal points there. There's two different focal points, meaning that there was two different things to see, two different things to look at. One is looking at the natural, looking from the natural focal point, and the other is looking at it completely different. Because when his eyes were open, that's not when the angels showed up. The angels were always what?
There.
In life, we have the opportunity to our vantage point. We can either have our vantage point here in the natural, or we can have our vantage point here in the new and the spiritual. And it's a battle. It's a battle. Exactly. And how can we do that? Have to change our thinking? Okay. I want to show you a couple things here real quick. We've got about 6 minutes and we'll wrap up. Go with me here to, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Go there really, really quick. Okay. Because there's a couple thoughts here I want to. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, okay? He's telling us that we've been raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things what? Above, not on things on the earth, okay? For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay, set your mind on what? Things above, not on the earth. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Verse 4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. Okay? Those two focal points, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who, according to the Spirit, set their things on the Spirit. Now, there's so much there because the first thing that we think about in the flesh, we're thinking of our body. We're thinking about but there's a whole lot more there than that. It's the old way versus the new way, because it goes on to say that you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. Paul goes on and talks about that. Okay, but there's two different focal points. Now, I want you to see real quick. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We said that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our what? With our what? Our spirit that we're the sons of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 10. Okay? But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So we see the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is what? In him. Okay? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul talking here about the grace of God, the thorn in the flesh. But here in verse 1 of chapter 12, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man, he says, in Christ, who 14 years ago, whether in the body or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I show you that not to say, what's Paul talking about? What I shared that scripture with you for was to identify that there's something in you. We all know that we are a spirit, right? But notice that Paul's saying, I know someone who is in Christ. He said, I can boast about the abundance of revelations that I have. And then he goes on and says, because of the abundance of revelations that I get, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. Okay? He said, I know a man, I believe he's talking about himself here, that 14 years ago, that he was caught up into the third heavens. He's not sure if his body was there with him, or he was out of his body, or he was in his body. Notice who Paul's talking about. He's talking probably about himself here, and he's talking about his spirit, and he's saying that his spirit in his body, or out of his body, right? In the other Corinthians, it says that, who knows the things of man except the spirit of man that is what? In him. Okay? So, we have to make that shift from where we see everything from a natural standpoint to where our focal point is always out of our spirit. Come on, right? The prophet, there's more for us than there are against us. The servant, what are you talking about? They've surrounded us. Open his eyes. They weren't his natural eyes. Open his eyes that he might see. God opens his eyes and he sees that the angels are always there. When Peter cut off the servant's ear, Jesus healed the servant, put the ear back on. And what did he say to Peter? He said, put your sword back up. He said, those who live by the sword die by the sword. And then what did he say? He said, don't you know that right now I could call on my Father and he would deliver me with 12 legions of angels. There's two things going on. Those who live by the natural will die by the natural, the sword. Those who live by the Spirit. But we have to first realize and understand that we are a spirit that lives in the body, that the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, and that we are a spirit. You say, Pastor, all that spirit stuff's weird. No, it's not weird, because you are a spirit. How do you know if you're here and you're, I'm telling you, if you are a spirit, it is natural for your spirit to hear the Holy Spirit. Okay? What we have to do is we have to see ourselves differently, and we have to see ourselves from a different place. Okay? If I get up, and I'm just being transparent. I'm telling you, it's like the Holy Spirit. Because the majority of the time, we're trying to get here from over there. Our starting point's always over there to get here. I'm telling you, our starting point has to be here in order for us to live here. Does that make sense? I mean, and I'll just tell you, I've done this for years. Start a service. I started this way. I don't care what you've gone through this week. I don't care how rough your week's been. I don't care how. What am I doing? All I'm identifying with is I'm taking you all back over here. You have a bad week. You have a rough week, poor week, sorry week. It don't matter. Now, does all those things happen? Yes. But why am I always starting here? To go there. Because I'm always seeing from here instead of seeing from here. Okay? The difference. If the servant got up that day, I don't care if you're surrounded by all your enemies. If the prophet got up this morning, look out there, y'all. We're surrounded by angels of fire. But on the other side of those angels of fire are all the armies of the enemy. Does that make sense? So I want to come live over here. Come on, right? Doesn't mean that we don't deal with all that. Doesn't mean that on the other side of the angels of fire, the enemy's not there. But I want to live from this vantage point. Does that make sense? And that's living out of our spirit. It's living out of our spirit. So we're going to get into that. Father, I just thank you tonight for your word. God, I thank you that you'll continue to teach us and lead us and guide us. You'll show us things that you prepared for us to walk in, God. And the way you do that is through your Holy Spirit, revealing those things to our spirit. Father, just like there's a language in the natural, there's language in the spirit. And God, we can hear the voice of the spirit. Our spirit is in communication with the Holy Spirit. But God, we have the ability to live out of that dimension, to live out of our spirit. It says those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. Father, I thank you that you're teaching us, you're leading us into something, God, that we can walk in, that you created us to be. Hallelujah. Father, like Charles said, we need to see ourselves, Father, like you see us, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys tonight. I appreciate your attentiveness. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Be safe going home. Love each and every one of you.